We're just starting in the US first. There wasn't an awful lot in the way of economic data last week. We did have the CPI came out for the month of January, and still no trouble showing there. You know, it's sort of the headline CPI was exactly where the market expected. It was up 0.3% month on month. So the annual rate of change is just hovering there at 1.4%. And the core CPI was actually a little bit less than the market expected. They were looking for 0.2, came in flat. And so the annual rate of change came down a touch to 1.4 from 1.6. In amongst all that, you had Jerome Powell giving his semi-annual statement. Yeah, it's a continuation of they'll do whatever it takes in order to complement what the administration's doing. And, of course, what we've got in the United States is that already, from what was announced last year, and yeah, we got something like $4 trillion of stimulus. You know, a lot of that's already been spent in the economy, but a lot of it's still coming through. And on top of that, you've got the additional 1.9, which is coming through from the current administration, and that all monetized. So yeah, this is a powerful amount of stimulus which is going to come through, has been coming through, and will continue to come through during the course of this year, and give some confidence that the US economy will continue to lift. And we can see some of the impact of it, even in the Q1 company reporting season that's just about over in the United States. But for the second quarter in a row, it's just been stunningly good. And you've got earnings, particularly for the heavyweight tech stocks. Some of them have beaten expectations by 70-80%. Overall, for the S&P 500, you're up 17% compared to what the market expected. It hasn't been that good for a long time. But it's not just company profits which are coming through very, very strongly. Because of the amount of the stimulus which has been going into the economy and continues to go through, for the first time ever, we've had both profit share and also wages share as a proportion of national income actually expanding. Normally one expands at the expense of the other. So this gives an awful lot of underlying support for the economy going forward. And so, things like the impeachment trial that we had during the course of the week become something of a sideshow. There's a concern that Trump could run again when you get through to 2024. But broadly speaking, it was an interesting result. They didn't get the two-thirds majority they wanted in that trial. It ended up being 57-43. They needed it to be 67-33 to get him impeached. Obviously there's a lot of civil actions that are going to come now going forward. So it wasn't necessarily a great result there as for Trump, and won't allow him to do too much in the way of disrupting the plans of the administration as we go forward. It'll be a quiet start in the US this week because it's President's Day holiday today. We get a lot of bits and pieces of data coming out through the course of this week. Most of it looking okay. So we get some of the regional manufacturing purchasing managers reports and also the full manufacturing and services sector PMIs towards the end of the week. But some of those regional ones coming up, we've got the Empire State or New York State one coming out on Tuesday. That's expected to improve to plus 6 from plus 3.5 going back the month before. We have the Philadelphia Fed survey later in the week. This is for February. That one looked okay last month. Not only okay, it's actually very good at plus 26.5. Still looks like it's going to register around about a plus 20 for the most recent month. So that one's looking good. We have some housing data. We've got the National Association of Home Builders Index coming out for the month of February. Has been fading back a bit. It was at 83 in the month of January, which historically is actually a very high reading, but we have been as high as 90 on that survey, which was just extraordinarily high. It's expected to hold at 83, and we get January housing permits and housing starts after surprisingly good December results for both of those. where housing permits lifted 4.2% and housing starts by 5.8%. They're both expected to come back a bit, but that's what was expected last month, and we ended up with positive numbers. So housing permits expected to fall perhaps 1.4%, housing starts down about 0.8%, but they'd just still be jogging along record highs, even if you've got those sorts of falls coming through. So yeah, nothing particularly soft running through that. We also get February manufacturing PMI and services sector PMI coming out right at the end of the week. And just a little bit of a drift back, I think, on the manufacturing PMI. It was strong at 59.2, going back to January, perhaps 58.5 for that one. And the services sector PMI was at 58.3, perhaps coming back to 57.5. But otherwise, not too bad. And the other point, I think, that obviously it's you haven't heard much about it over the past week because there's actually been improving news. But the new infection rates on COVID now is actually coming back pretty rapidly in the United States. So, there's actually some underlying good news that's starting to come through from that. Still huge figures by comparison with anybody else, but on the improve. China last week, we had a bit of data just before the beginnings of the Lunar New Year holidays, and that was just a CPI producer price index. Neither are high. In fact, in the case of the CPI, the annual change has gone back into deflation territory, minus 0.3% year on year from plus 0.2% the month before. Yeah, that gives plenty of leeway for the People's Bank of China if it wants to boost things a bit. And producer prices went from deflation to slight inflation, but minus 0.4% going back to December year on year to plus 0.3%, so not much there. And this week it's largely holidays all the way through. This is the Lunar New Year holidays, big time in China, so not much coming on that front. In the case of Australia last week, we had various sentiment surveys came out. Holding up okay. We had the business conditions part of the NAB survey. That did come back, but it was very high the month before at plus 410, came back to plus 7. But business confidence for the month of January actually went up to plus 10 from plus 4. Westpac consumer sentiment came out, went back into positive territory, plus 1.9% after being minus 4.5% the month before. So an improvement running through there. And housing's just on a moon rocket ride at the moment. So over the course of the weekend, we saw clearance rates, which, even in Melbourne, where you're heading into the lockdown, touching 90%, it's 90% here in Sydney just about, with quite a deal, the price pressure starting showing through as well. So housing's looking still very, very strong. In terms of the shutdown in Victoria, ostensibly it's for 5 days, but obviously it might be extended somewhat. But probably not for much longer than that. I think there's more reason for confidence than not. It's got the same mark about it as changes we've had many places around Australia, and that is you go in hard and relatively quickly to get on top of these outbreaks. It still allows contact tracing to work, even though this one there appears to be rather more infections out there in the community, and it's going to be a bit of a challenge for them. But it's not huge numbers for contact tracing to manage, and that's been the story of Australia's response all the way through. That we go in hard, relatively hard, in different ways in different states when these things show up, but we get on top of it pretty quickly, and then life gets back to normal again, or COVID normal, relatively quickly. And it certainly stood us in good stead. And we'll see it over this next 3 weeks. Over the next 3 weeks, Australia will show statistics both in terms of healthcare management and also in terms of the economy, which genuinely is going to be the envy of the world. They are looking very, very good. What I mean by that is we'll culminate, for example, with our GDP data, which comes out on March the 3rd. And we'll have somewhere between about plus 2, plus 3%, quarter on quarter, we think, at this stage. We'll get the forecast for that in about a week's time from the market. And it means that for the whole of last year, our economy contracted around 2%. Now compare that, with the 15% contraction in Europe, or the 9.9% year-on-year contraction that just came out in the United Kingdom, where they pointed out that was their worst annual contraction since 1709. How they had any decent figures in 1709, I don't know. But it certainly, since we've had modern statistics, and that includes the Great Depression, Britain didn't contract as much as 9.9% in any year during the Great Depression. It just shows that those countries which shilly-shally and don't do the sort of hard stuff that Victoria's done very early in the piece end up with far worse outcomes, both in terms of infection rates and in terms of damage to the economies over time, regardless of how much fiscal stimulus you throw at the thing relative to what's happened here in Australia. So leading into that this week, we've got employment data coming out on Thursday, and it's looking good. It looks like another 40 to 50,000 jobs for the most recent month, the same as the month before. But we've got the participation rate, which is already at a record high of 66.2%. And the unemployment rate looks as if it'll come down to 6.4 or 6.5% from 6.6 going back the month before. So all told, looking very good in terms of the economic data coming through. And as we go a week further out, we'll get the quarterly reports heading into the GDP number, and those are looking pretty good too. So it's going to be a diet of some pretty good economic numbers running all the way out into early March with the Q4 GDP report that comes out here. And the Q4 GDP report for us is going to be chalk and cheese compared with just about anywhere else around the world other than China. So it's going to be looking pretty good. The other thing to bear in mind for Australia too is that we've also had another advantage on the health front, in that not only do we go in hard and fast to get on top of small outbreaks when they occur, but we've given ourselves the luxury of a way more coordinated and sensible approach in distributing vaccines. And the Pfizer vaccine will start being distributed, and the first injections start next week. Again, we'll be able to see some differences between the way Australia does this and the way in which it's been done in other parts of the world too. So there's a lot of reasons, even though we might feel a bit gloomy because we've got one part of the country back in lockdown again, where it's still looking good relatively for Australia compared with overseas. In Europe last week, we had the Centix Investor Confidence Survey. Not surprisingly, that fell away a bit. The market was hoping it would actually improve to plus 1.9 from plus 1.3. It actually fell. It's minus 0.2%. This week we get a fair bit of data out of Europe. You get things like industrial production in December. Actually, that came back because they had a large part of Europe in more severe lockdown. So it's expected to fall by 1% after being up 2.5% the month before. We get revised Q4 GDP. The initial read of GDP there for the quarter was minus 0.7%. The year-on-year was minus 5.1. We get manufacturing PMI, services sector PMI for February. Both are expected to be a little bit softer than where they were going back the month before, and the services sector PMI is well below 50 now, so that one's looking actually quite soft. Broadly, that's about it, but sort of looking reasonably good. And as I say, some of the things which are underpinning all this, just the earnings reports have been sort of important out of the US for Q4, and it's reinforced the data, which shows that things are going to take time to pick up in some parts of the world. For us, it's going to be a fairly consistent improvement most of the way through 2021 at this stage. Still plenty of reasons for optimism as far as financial markets are concerned. So at least line of resistance for risk assets is still upwards for the time being, even though they look pretty overvalued in some parts. There's not a lot to stop that in the near term.